T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mason Rudolph decides to press charges against Myles Garrett.
Well, that's...
because that is a possibility.
Zero chance that happens.
It's one of the headlines.
We're talking about a league where you play through injury because you don't want to look soft. You think he's going to press charges?
I don't know. I think he would have the world on his side if he did that, wouldn't he?
I've seen a lot of people saying that. No, I don't think he would.
Headline on Yahoo Sports, Myles Garrett to be suspended over melee, but could he also be charged with a crime?
It's crazy to hear fans have two reactions of they should charge Myles Garrett with a crime. And if that happened to Pat, I'd come down there and put him in a body bag.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Your chance to win the Truly prize pack. It's our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. Ryan, make it simple to win.
I truly do make it simple to win.
You don't even have to come out of the stands to win.
No, you don't. All you have to do is listen and dial. You'll listen for this.
All right, boys, break it up.
That's what we're listening for. Next time you hear it, be caller number
7.
Caller number 7, 913-576-7610. Caller number 7, I'm going to hook you up with a Truly prize pack the next time you hear that drop.
I think ultimately when we look at that fight last night, I think if he wanted to press charges, people would be okay with that. And I also think that a lot of the fans that we quoted from Twitter would be willing to serve jail time to defend Patrick Mahomes. And I'm being serious about that. I think there's a good percentage, 5 to 10% of the fans would be willing to go to jail if it meant protecting Patrick Mahomes.
I bet a lot of people would be upset if he filed charges, too. It's not, he'll be a wimp. It's a fight in a football game. I want to read you a few of the headlines.
We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Coliseum.
Yahoo Sports, cross the line. Garrett should be done for 19.
Okay.
NFL players react to the Thursday night melee.
I agree. He should be done for 19.
That's Yahoo. Yeah. CBS Sports, suspensions loom after helmet swinging melee. ESPN, Garrett ejected after striking Rudolph with helmet. But then there's NFL.com. Myles Garrett, comma, others, ejected after late skirmish.
Skirmish. Late skirmish.
NFL.com going with skirmish.
Skirmish. I'm surprised they haven't reduced it to a fuss.
Kerfuffle.
Well, there was a fuss last night. We're not going to get all into this.
Everyone else using brawl or melee.
Right.
NFL.com chooses to use skirmish.
Skirmish. Skirmish.
Found that interesting.
I found that so interesting. When I woke up this morning, I kind of did the same thing, looking at all the different headlines and seeing who was covering what and what they were talking about. And then I got to NFL.com, and it's like, skirmish.
Nothing
last
to see
night.
Here.
Yeah. Oh, it's boys will be boys. It's not a big deal.
Nothing to see here.
No, it's a pretty big deal, man. You had a player use a helmet as a weapon.
Three players were ejected. We expect that there's going to be some type of suspension for Myles Garrett.
Right.
It may, the prevailing notion seems to be it's going to happen quick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if as quick as what we were looking for, which is, hey, you guys opened at 8.
Right.
You got into the office at 8. I'm sure you're getting to it. Roger Goodell.
Well, now it's 10:07 on the East Coast. What are we
dealing with this
on?
Last night?
Yeah.
You think, oh, what do you got? You saw the video. There's no disputing that the guy ripped off the helmet and started swinging it and could have knocked out the quarterback.
Right.
All right, boys, break it up.
Could have severely concussed him. Heck, may have killed him. The force with which that helmet was wheeled at Mason Rudolph.
Right.
Could have been much, much worse.
Could have been a lot worse. I mean, he's lucky he didn't connect with him right on the top of the head. He could have absolutely done a lot of damage to Mason Rudolph. I mean, he could have concussed him. He could have knocked him unconscious. He could have who knows what could have happened. If he took that helmet and got him at the top of the head or in the temple with the actual thick part of that helmet and not the ear flap part of that, serious damage could have been done. He possibly could have killed him if he hit him the right way with that blunt force object to the head. So I think Myles Garrett is done for the year. He should be done for the year, and he should never play a game this season in the NFL. He should have to apply for reinstatement next year, and almost like they have to do a show cause. Show us why you should be back in the NFL for doing something like this. I think he should be back in the NFL, but I don't think he should play another game this season. I think they should make it very difficult on Myles Garrett and send a message, because player safety allegedly is issue number one in the NFL.
Yes, and protecting the quarterback is as well, as Joe Mays, who drops by at 8 o'clock on Fridays with us, former defender.
Right.
He's always kind of got a little quarterback, like, in there every week. Like, you know, they're going to protect the quarterbacks, man. He goes, oh, this happened to a quarterback. You know, this isn't going to go down.
Right.
And in this instance, though, that's absolutely the case, right? Not only you got to protect a player, you got to protect a quarterback.
Right.
In a situation like this. This is out of hand. A fight is a fight. Fight's going to happen. Guys pushing and shoving, even throwing to the ground, even maybe throwing some punches.
Correct.
We've lamented the sports fight for years. If you have the sports fight in which everybody's wearing their gear and throwing punches, is kind of a dumb fight, but it is still a fight. But there's little likelihood someone's going to get hurt.
Right.
This one directly, I mean, they should be. We should be seeing like a bloody head of.
Yeah, I'm surprised there was no blood in this.
Of Rudolph. As hard as he swung that helmet, the damage should have been much, much worse. And that's the concerning part. Like, he really could have seriously hurt Mason Rudolph in all this. So, yeah, Garrett, to me, gone. And I'm with you. I don't allow the appeal process to take place. We'll talk to you. You can talk to us after the season's over.
Right. Exactly.
Done. Because he's had some other. On field things. He's not to the level of Vontaze Burfict by any means, but he's had a few things where you're like, okay, you've had some aggressive issues on the field.
Yeah.
This isn't just a complete, this has never happened type thing before. Gone for the season. We'll reinstate at the end of the year. They have to send a serious message
to
Myles Garrett.
They do. He's done for the year, and that needs to be that.
And Pouncey
will get three games.
I'd still give him some games. I know there's certain players even weighing in saying he shouldn't get it, just a fine, but no games. He stood up for his teammate and all those things. Right, he still can't. The guy was pinned on the ground, and you're kicking him in the head.
Right.
I can't just go, nah, that should be. Three games would make sense, right? Because that would take him basically through the next matchup with the Browns and call it good.
Right.
How come we have these things figured out much? I mean, their office has been open for 2 hours, right? We've been on the air since 6 and talking the entire time. We got this thing figured out.
Right.
Get to the suspension.
It's very simple. End his season. Pouncey gets three games and we move on.
John and Lee Summit, your winner, the Truly Prize Pack. That was our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. We will have our Chiefs roundtable. Bink and Ron will join us. Jay Binkley from Bink at Night. Ron from Show and Vern. And we'll see if we can separate them next.
Fesco in the morning.
The separation in the NFL is tiny. I mean, from whoever y'all say the best team is to the worst team, I mean, everybody can beat anybody on every single day. And we know that as a team. I mean, you play with these guys no matter what team they're on. And we knew that going to that game that they were going to be a team that had a lot of talent and they were going to fight. I mean, they're in the same situation that we're kind of in now where they needed to win the game. And so for us, I mean, as an offense, as a defense, and as a special team, we didn't execute at a high enough level. We all had chances to win that game, and we understand that now we're kind of at that point where we're in a battle now, and so we're going to go out there every single day and make sure that we can execute at a higher level, because we haven't been this whole season, and playing the way that we know how to play. And so, I mean, we talk about that as a team, but I think that's just the mindset that Coach Reed's kind of instilled in us, and the mindset that we're going to have moving forward.
We got some breaking news from the NFL. Darren Sproles will be out for the remainder of the regular season after being diagnosed with a torn right hip flexor muscle.
Ooh, ouch.
So we will not see Sproles in the backfield anymore this
season.
That's
the biggest loss of all of
it. It really is.
We won't see Sproles in the backfield? I know. Yeah. Breaking news brought to you by Indeed. There you go. Post a job today, Indeed.com/hire.
There you go.
So Darren Sproles.
We're crushing that read, by the way.
We are.
So proud of us.
Is out.
Best player ever to come out of Kansas City.
He's got to shut it down, right?
Yeah, it's done, right? Don't you think he's done?
I think this is it.
Yeah.
The season was kind of iffy for him to come back.
Right.
Best player ever to come out of Kansas City, in my opinion.
Jay Binkley, Bank at Night.
How much more competition is there really?
No,
okay.
Ron Hughley from a show in Vern.
Oh, boy.
So Sproles is out. Yep. Pat talked about the little things, fixing the little things. It seemed like he was parroting his head coach, which is fine. If his head coach actually is getting to those little things, that would be great as well. Because certainly they were all missing last week in the game against Tennessee. Show how fixable are most of the Chiefs' issues right now.
I mean, I think they should be fixable, but I think it's fair to call it a trend, right?
Sure.
I mean, 6 out of the last 7 games, I know people are tired of hearing me say that, 6 out of the last 7 games, they've turned the ball over in the red zone, either their red zone or very close to the other team's red zone. And that's offense or special teams. Penalties are an issue. What is this, 2 weeks in a row, Binkley? They've lined up near goal line with 10 guys on the field.
Yeah. It's, can't do it.
But it's not new, though, right? Like it's
so what you're saying, it should be fixable, but it's not been fixed.
But it's not new. Yeah. This is why this team is so talented and so good, is because they overcome more times than not over the last year and a half. They overcome dumb stuff.
Right.
They overcome it. And if they didn't, they would have a better record than 6-4 right now.
You know, so, and you're right about those little things. I mean, we've been kind of talking about those all week long. And the latest today that I brought up was you mentioned the fumbles. I mean, they're on pace to have more fumbles than they did. They have one less fumble than they did the entire
year. Which isn't
year
a little
year.
Thing, right?
No, that's not. That's
we'd
a big
say
thing.
It is, yeah. But
second
but,
in the league.
But yeah, but also what they're really, really doing a poor job on is scoring inside the red zone. And this year they're converting 43% inside the red zone. This time or all of last season they were at like 73%. So they're like 30% less of converting inside the red zone into touchdowns. They're scoring field goals and touchdowns in there. They're scoring 29 out of 32 trips in the red zone, but only 15 of those have been touchdowns. And it's one of the worst in the National Football League. The only teams worse in the red zone right now are Denver, Pittsburgh, Washington, Jacksonville, Arizona, and Cincinnati. And the Chiefs' offense is now in the category of them when it comes to scoring from inside the 20. I mean, I think the way to fix that is get Kilitrav more involved. Where's he when this team is down
one
in the red
target
zone?
In the second half last week?
Well, yeah,
and he was dominant in the first half.
In the
half.
First half, he owned that game.
Yeah, he had 2 big plays taken off the board and a touchdown due to 2, you know, small things,
yeah.
Penalties.
I don't know what that by Tyreek Hill going down there just clearing everybody out.
Yeah, well, they're averaging about 7 points, a touchdown less than they did last year.
A touchdown less per game.
But here's the thing, if you want to go from good to great, it's like the Patriots are great. It's cuz those little things. And the little things are becoming an issue with the Kansas City Chiefs. Fielding a punt inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah, fair catching a punt at the 2.
Not having your gloves on.
I mean, the gloves. The snap count is the same.
The snap count is ridiculous.
You get your field goal blocked because of that. That's one thing. And then you have the penalties. It's these little issues like this that take you from good to great. But all these things are correctable. You just got to start fixing them. This is what makes the Patriots different. You can't lose to yourself.
I love
you can't
what
beat yourself.
I'd like to present this to you guys because I love what Pat said there in terms of showing some leadership. But man, everything you're saying, I know a lot of it falls at the feet of Andy because he is the coach and he sets the tone and the culture. But everything you're saying, if it happens so often, wouldn't you say this team has poor player leadership? Like, doesn't that sound like a team that has poor player leadership?
Well, I think it has a coach who doesn't focus enough on the details and focus enough on the small things. And you can, you know, people hate when we make the Royals comparison, but that 2015 team did all the small things right. That's why they were able to win a world championship. And when you have Super Bowl expectations, which the owner said at the beginning of the year, not just us, you have to take care of the little things. You have to protect the football. You have to score inside the red zone. You have to be proficient on special teams. I mean, things that weren't going wrong for this team last year are now going wrong. Not so special teams and not being able to score in the red zone alone are a big part of the reason why this team is 6-4. It's easy to blame the defense and focus on the defense and how they can't get off the field, but they're giving up 3 points less per game than they did a season ago. The offense is scoring a touchdown less per game than they did a season ago, and they're not converting it all inside the red zone.
They come in sluggish. Andy said it. They were sloppy. That's not the first time they've come in. It takes them a while to get going. They don't seem to be matching the energy level of the opponent.
Well, they've been in the hole this year.
The Raiders game, the Lions game, where it took them a while. Like, to me, some of that on your coach, but some of that is on, man, you don't have any guys back out there that are just, like, accepting this week after week. Just accepting leadership. On the on-field leadership, I think, would get some of this little thing stuff fixed. And I just have no thought but to point to the fact that you don't have Derek Johnson's rolling around there that this stuff wouldn't be acceptable with. Mm-hmm. Eric Berry, this stuff wouldn't be acceptable with. There is something lacking there on the field with terms of player leadership.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of it, though, to me, it can be fixed by Andy doing some things differently. Like, I don't need 75 plays in a game. I really don't. I don't need 75 plays in a game on offense. And I sure as hell don't need my last four drives when the Tennessee Titans were hot to go 2 minutes and 6 seconds, 3 minutes and 12 seconds, 27 seconds, and then the 23-second one to end the game. How about control the ball a little bit more? Instead of a 5-play, 79-yard drive, why not make it a 7-play, 79-yard drive? Take another 2 minutes off the clock. Like we were talking about earlier, somebody texted me, go, the Chiefs were up 38-10 in a playoff game, and Andy couldn't close it out. So, like, this is something that he's not capable, I don't think, of doing to a high level, is figuring out a way to close out games. And we saw it again last week.
I'm not sure it's also his strength either to kind of meddle in everything.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, we felt that right with Bob Sutton. You kind of let him run the defense. He might be doing that to a certain extent with Steve Spagnuolo to go and run the defense. He certainly had to have been doing that, right, with Dave Tobe? For a number of years. He's got this. He's a pro. He runs special teams. Everything's great. And then when it's not, then what happens? Does he step in there and go, you used to be at the top of your game. These special teams, we can't have this anymore. And I question whether or not that is sometimes the case with Andy. Well, it feels like he gives a lot of trust to the guys around him, which is smart leadership. You should do those things. But then can he come in and like drop the hammer? And it's like, okay, special teams, enough. You can't be doing this in not just one of your phases of your special teams, like multiple phases of your special teams. I'm not sure that's his strength.
No, and that's about as animated as I've seen Dave Tobe. You know, when Hardman took that ball inside the five, Dave Tobe was all over him, and I haven't seen that a ton. Ron, you bring up leadership, and I think it's a good point, because on offense is Pat Mahomes. Where's the leadership on defense? The Honey Badger, I think, is the closest to it, you know, as far as buying into it every week. He's talking about accountability. We have to tackle better. We have to do that. And then you have Frank Clark that I thought was going to be that guy too. And you know, Honey Badger told us. Pete Sweeney and I talked to him after he signed the contract.
They made themselves that before the season started.
Pat Mahomes told the Honey Badger on the phone, hey, I need you to take over the defense. I need you to lead the defense. That's what Honey Badger told us that he wanted him to do. He's, I think, on the right path, but I think they're missing it. I think there's a void on leadership on that side of the ball. The offense has plenty of it. Defense does not.
That's the part. I didn't say it to start because it's blasphemy to talk about Pat. But that offense are ones who are making tons of mistakes.
Oh, I've been all over that offense this week, too.
That offense is the one. And I don't even – it's hard for me to blame Pat because Pat, this is year two in the offense. This is his third year. Maybe he hasn't developed that yet. But we know this is Pat's team. Like, we know they've cleared most voices out. Like, this is Pat's team. And they're not getting off to great starts. They are having miscues and errors. A lot of the fumbles are happening on that side of the ball. What is it, 6 fumbles in the second half this year of games? A lot of that is happening. So it ain't just on that side of the ball. It's overall.
It's okay to talk about the offense not living up to its end of the bargain, because I kind of think that's a major issue right now with this team.
It is our Chiefs roundtable today. Show has moved the bar. Binkley would like to own a bar. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
It was our Chiefs roundtable on a Friday show from Show and Vern in studio with us. Jay Binkley from Bink at Night here as well. Ron, you've moved your bar on the defense. What's going on here?
I think if I'm honest with myself in believing that this team could be a Super Bowl contender, because this is the game for me. Like if they can't go take care of the Chargers, then I feel like the expectations or the explanations, as Ryan LaFever would say, don't matter as much at 6-5 if they're going to. I think they'll be as healthy as possible. You see LDT and Fisher full go. So looking at the offense and the special teams, like, to me, they have not met the expectation of what I thought they were going to be coming in. And many of it is explainable. Injuries, things like that. But they haven't met it. The defense, for me personally, is the only group that has met and at points has exceeded what I thought. I said, sure, if they can be 20 to 25, let's go. They're DVOA. They're 17 right now, fourth in the league in sacks. All that. They've met it. They've met it. I look around. I think now we've gotten 10 weeks. I think it's just it's kind of foolish to just go in and say, well, you know what? They're going to get right, though. Like, they're going to get healthy, and this is going to be the Chiefs' offense that we thought it was going to be. It's going to. So if you really still believe that 32 points could be enough, could the Chiefs, can you still win games if they kick 6 field goals? Sure, at 32 points. But what has to change? And I feel like there may be some growth in the defense. I think, as you would think, with Spags and his defense, the longer you're in it, maybe the better you get used to it. The secondary has been better. They could get better. Obviously, the run defense can improve from 31st up. That's where I'm looking to get at least a slight improvement to maybe make up for what the lack of the offense and special teams.
I'm with you on this one. I think when you look at the three areas of the team, the three phases of the game, as they like to say, the only one who's overachieved expectation has been the defense, and they really have. I mean, I know it's easy to crush the defense because of a couple of big moments not getting off the field. It's easy on the surface to blame the defense. But the offense is scoring less, and the special teams are making a lot of boneheaded mistakes that they didn't make. The defense, because it was so bad, but I think they're 17th in scoring against. I mean, so if that's all we wanted last year. Just give us an average defense, and we got that.
Because, Bob, last year, we would all said before the season, I don't care if you're playing Ryan Tannehill or not, Derrick Henry, you play one of your worst games of the season, which I think they did, and at minute 50, they got off the field forcing a 4th-and-17, mm-hmm, and got off the field like we've asked them to do.
Yes, that's right.
All year. They made their play, got off the field, handed the ball to the offense at the 32. At that point, with a minute 50 left, they'd given up 20 points. They had nothing to do with the fumble recovery for a touchdown. They'd given up 20 points right there. 20 points, a turnover that sets you up. They set up the offense 2 times inside the 30. And they only got 3 points out of it.
Yeah.
Like, that was supposed to be enough. Now, I feel like you have to move it. I feel like they got to be better than that. And instead of 20 points to Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, maybe it needs to be 14. And I think they're actually capable of doing that, especially if Chris Jones is going to play like this.
I just look at the defense and, you know, DVOA aside, let's be honest, teams are playing the Chiefs differently.
No question.
They're coming in here not to score a ton of points. Look at the Colts. They didn't care. It's about scoring just enough to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, run the football, control the clock. The Tennessee Titans weren't concerned about that either. Heck, they only had the ball for 22 minutes. The offense had it for 38 minutes.
Right.
And when the head coach of the opposing team is saying they were switching out, they were on a knee, they were tired, we walked into the end zone. How does that make the Chiefs feel? When the opposing head coach, Mike Vrabel, says that after a game, that's an indictment on your defense. It's an indictment on your defense when Frank Clark says, I think we were soft on the last drive. It's an indictment when the Green Bay Packers have the ball for 5 minutes and use Aaron Rodgers once and run the football. It's an indictment on 3rd-and-10 when Ryan Tannehill trucks you, 3 of your players, and picks up a first down and wins the game. So I'm not sold on this defense stepping up yet.
Well,
we can look at stats all we want to, but understand people are playing this team differently.
Well, but it's also an indictment of your offense that you were scoring 73% of the time touchdowns in the red zone. You're only at 46% of the time.
Well, the offense had the ball 38 minutes, but they didn't score more.
It's an indictment of your offense when you're kicking 6 field goals against the Tennessee Titans, this magical, mysterious, wonderful offense. It's an indictment of your offense when you're fumbling as much as the Chiefs are fumbling this year. It's also an indictment of your offense when you have a 27-second drive and you're not able to get any points out of it at the end of the game against the Tennessee Titans, and you go for negative 10 yards. That's an indictment of your offense.
But they're scoring enough points to win. I mean, what, the third highest scoring team in the NFL? But they're scoring enough points to win. They're just giving up too much.
They're scoring a touchdown less per game, and they're giving up three less points per
game. But still, what, just the Ravens and the Patriots and, averaging more?
But also, they're also giving away points. Like,
yeah.
They repeated, like, LeSean McCoy has fumbled it inside the red zone. Mecole Hardman jumps up twice to open up third quarter kickoffs, has fumbled the ball in the red. Like, the offensive special teams, along with that, like, everyone says they're scoring enough points. Well, yes. Well, how many points would have been enough in the game Sunday had Williams not fumbled it for a touchdown? Would have been enough points? It would have been enough points.
Mm-hmm. Getting a touchdown when you got a field goal after the first turnover they forced.
Would have been enough points. Like, I love Pat. Would have
they
been
take
enough,
over the 20-yard line and they get a field goal.
Would have been enough points if Tyreek Hill doesn't just make an obvious, I mean, a god-awful, obvious offensive pass interference penalty that takes a touchdown off the board.
And then Tyreek Hill drops a pass that he should have caught.
Or I love Pat, but Alex Smith and Matt Moore probably would have hit Tyreek Hill streaking wide open by himself in the middle of the field for a touchdown. Like,
Alex Smith, that guy in that one game?
He did. It might have been short. Oh, Alex will hit you if you're standing wide open. Now, Alex will pull the trigger there. I'm just saying, expectations that we had coming in.
It might have been short.
They might have been at the five. Expectations coming in was not that this Chiefs team's going to get in a game against the Titans, give up a touchdown themselves, kick six field goals. Do you know what I mean? Six games this year, this offense, this vaunted offense, has scored 10 points or less in the second half. Six games this year.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what we thought we were coming into. So if we just stop acting like we're going to get it and just say to ourselves, all right, well, let's just react to what we have, and maybe the defense, you pick it up.
I think ultimately, and the defense has picked it up a little bit from a point standpoint, but I think ultimately, you know, when I look at this football team, I see all areas that can get better. The offense can get better. The defense can definitely get better. The special teams can clearly get better and do better
things.
Which
in a way is encouraging. They haven't hit their ceiling in any of those areas this year.
But I think when you take over at the 20-yard line and the 32-yard line and you get 3 points out of that, that's a fail by the offense. That is. That's not, the defense had nothing to do with that. They put you in good position.
Happened in the Texans game. Frank Clark made his first play of the season and set them up first and 10 from the 20, and they got 3 points out of it against the Texans. They fumbled a ball at the 4-yard line at the end of the half that led right to a touchdown against the Texans. Like,
so sad that you said the tenth game of the season, you just nonchalized that he made his first play of the season.
No, the Texans game wasn't the 10th game. But I don't want to poo-poo anything that you're saying. They don't have to get absolutely trucked by Derrick Henry for 200 whatever yards. I'm just saying I had an expectation of understanding that this defense wasn't going to be great in terms of stopping the run. But I know when Mahomes made that amazing play, it should have been 30-13 at the time, and you can't run it as much then.
I think what this team does, they do the wow better than anybody else.
Oh, come on now.
But they're
Alex Rodriguez is what I said yesterday.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, I like that. Actually, yeah. They do the wow better than anybody else, but they need to be – they need to be wow at the average, because they do the average really poor. Like, this is the normal, easy stuff on offense, especially. They don't do so well, but they do the wow better than anybody else.
Oh, they do. And the bottom line is, I do agree.
And
with
I don't need as much wow. I need average. And they're not
good
at
average.
I think
they do need to run more and run effectively. And this is something missing from this team. And Andy Reid will run it. Don't forget, he had the NFL's leading rusher a couple years ago with Kareem Hunt. He will do that at certain points, but they're just missing that dog at running back.
Yeah, and that's a fair point too. They don't have that alpha dog at running back. But again, that's on them. They believed in Damian Williams, which I did as well. They thought he was going to be the guy. They drafted Darwin Thompson to eventually take over and be that guy next year. But the guys that they had at that running back position haven't lived up to the expectations that they thought they were going to live up to either.
And they didn't even get a real look at Darwin Thompson. If he's going to play and LeSean McCoy's going to sit, why didn't you at least use him and see what he's got?
Yeah,
see what he's got.
Either one of you guys coming out of the stands if a defender is swinging a helmet at Patrick Mahomes?
Man, I got into it with somebody on Twitter about this. Come on, man. That man in real life can't mean that much to you. Pat Mahomes does not mean that much to me. I'm not walking out there. Yeah, I'm going. Yeah, Miles Garrett. No, man. No, in sports life, I hear it. In real life, Patrick Mahomes, I don't mean that much to y'all.
No, I mean, but I said I think 5 to 10% of Chiefs fans would be willing to go to jail to protect Patrick Mahomes.
6'4", 271 pounds.
Didn't somebody walk Miles up Garrett. And hit Miles Garrett in his car?
Yeah, that's right. Miles Garrett? It was, yeah. Like, no fan is going out on the field to fight with football players. And if you do, you're probably going to get your ass just absolutely destroyed.
Miles Garrett got jacked in his car.
I'd do something. I would attack Miles Garrett if my children were on the line. If my
sure.
family, but not because he hit Patrick Mahomes with a helmet. No, I don't know Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm with you. I am not going out on the field to fight a football player over him hitting a quarterback.
No,
boy, Twitter was telling me.
Oh
they
man,
nice
yeah, everybody was coming man. Out of the stands. Like,
good lord,
if that happens in Arrowhead, the whole place is empty. Everybody's on the field.
You mean to tell me that people make hollow threats on Twitter?
Here it is, DC and KC. If that happened to Pat at Arrowhead, dude is leaving in an ambulance. Bare minimum. Mozart the painter says, and you all better F-S up if somebody even tries that bleep. I'm coming out of the stands. No BS, says referee.
No, you're not.
Well, let's see. It was, let me see this. If it was Pat, whoever did it dies before leaving the stadium.
No.
Josh says, I'd fly to Kansas to whoop ass. So there's
been
some.
I don't think you're going to make it here in time.
There's been some good comments on Twitter.
Fly to Kansas. The game's in Missouri.
That's right. Pretty sure his teammates would take up for it.
That's sports life. That's sports life, not real life.
No, but for some people, I think it could be some real life.
You're probably right, Bob.
Yeah.
Show what's coming up at 10 o'clock.
Tyreek, I expect something special from Tyreek on Monday night, and we're gonna get into that because I don't think Tyreek is happy about the game he had Sunday. If he's a great player like I believe he is, I don't think he's happy about the game he had Sunday. I think you got a chance to see something really special from him.
I think you're right about that. I think, again, he did the wow better than anybody, but the average he was not wow at. He was not even average at the average.
And, Bink, I think you're on 4 more shows today. What's the rest of your day have in store?
We're going to talk a lot about this game, the back against the wall the Chargers are feeling, going out, playing in the altitude, practicing. Chargers taking this as a business trip, so Chiefs will get their best effort.
You devoting a half an hour to the altitude thing?
I might.
That's good stuff.
And beer.
And beer, of course. Bink at night tonight at 6. Show and Vern coming up at 10 o'clock. Thanks, guys, for the this week's edition of the Chiefs Roundtable. We find out what Fesco's an expert at this week, what we learned, and the big finish next.
All right, boys, break it up.
Fesco in the morning.
Hey, we'll be out at Winning Streaks on Monday. Watch party. We will be there hanging out watching the game. So hopefully you can come on out to Harris North Kansas City, Winning Streaks, and watch the game with us.
There's
on Monday.
There's a game going on Monday?
On Monday night.
Yes, yep. The Chiefs will be playing.
I mean, I was just going to go out there and drink and eat.
There you go.
That's icing on the cake.
The bonus is there's a game as well. Food and drink specials, and we'll be hosting the watch party out at Winning Streaks Monday night for the game. Come and join us.
You gonna get some of that candied bacon, Bob?
Sounds pretty good.
I had some of Fat Mahomes the last time we were out there. We split an app. Well, actually, I think he ate like 7 of them, and I ate 1 of them. It's still nice of him to offer, though.
Still splitting. He offered you one of his.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's how it worked out.
OJ has weighed in on Twitter.
Oh, good.
On Mason Rudolph?
Yeah, that's what I've been waiting
on. Can you please, we may have to play it. Can you please go find it and listen to it?
I don't want to.
We got to hear what
I'll find it.
He what started it? Yeah,
I bet it starts with, hello, Twitter world.
No, yes. He weighed in at 1:15 last night.
I'm just saying.
1:15 in the morning?
Yeah, 1:15 a.m.
You can't be doing that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Violence isn't the answer.
I can't wait to hear OJ's opinion on violence.
If he says violence isn't the answer.
Thank you very much for tuning into the show whenever you can do it. And you can listen to the entire show on demand, 610sports.com or via the radio.com app. You can catch each and every hour of the show.
That sounds terrible.
All week long on the app. Okay? That's cool. I understand, though, you're going to work, you're doing whatever, you don't always have a chance to catch up. That's why Billy Coons is here. Fesco's biggest fan, Billy, listens to every hour of the show. He takes copious notes, and each and every week he delivers what we learned.
Hello, this host Billy Kuhn, and this is what we learned on Fesco Morning for this week on Monday. Bob and Josh discuss embarrassing and sunny loss for Kansas City Chiefs losing to Tennessee Titans. And legend Bob says Lamar Jackson has proven everybody wrong as one hell of a quarterback. And legend Bob, he's an expert on area codes for local phone numbers. And I with Josh ranted on the Kansas City Chiefs defense and say they need to stop somebody and do their job. On Tuesday, Bob and Josh talked about the NFL football game between the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers, with Seattle winning 27-24. And legend Bob says wins over the Dallas Cowboys don't matter because they haven't been good in 20 years. And legend Bob, he's an expert on toothpicks. And Dana News joined the show to discuss the Chiefs' defensive struggle. On Wednesday, we learned Evansville Golden Aces upset number one Kentucky in college basketball 67-64, and legend Bob still has a theory that college basketball is no good and nobody watches it. And the guys are experts on quick trip gas stations in the Kansas City area. And Bob and Josh talked to George Toma on the 60th anniversary of the Kansas City Chiefs. On Thursday, we learned legend Bob almost didn't make it to work with an upset stomach because he did not eat before taking his sinus medication. Get well, legend Bob. And brother Ryan made his NFL survivor pick since he won the 610 sports pool. It's a great week to listen to legend Bob. I with Josh and brother Ryan. Talk to you later.
When did we talk about Quick Trips?
We did. We talked about, you know, how great the gas stations are.
Every week there's at least one thing that Billy points out that I'm like, we talked about that?
Yeah. So we're all experts. That's why we bring them on to refresh our memories, too. It's not just, I mean, we don't pay attention every hour of the show.
I don't listen to all 20 hours.
So we're all Quick Trip experts. Bob is an expert on toothpicks and area codes for phones.
That's right.
I did notice something, Ryan. There was a little tone difference in today's a little bit. Now, he did wish Bob, you know, get well.
Billy was ill right now, concerned about you being sick.
His allergies have been.
I don't think that's what it was.
Really acting up.
Because he doesn't quite have, as Ryan, as you would say, the stank on it when it comes to legend Bob.
Yeah.
Those were very downplayed this week. Did you notice that?
He's got the allergies. He said that to me.
Well, he's currently feuding with Bob.
Right.
Too.
That's what it is.
He
disagrees with Bob about college basketball.
Well, if Bob didn't take it like a big baby.
And he's starting to waver. You could tell in the way he delivered, it's just legend Bob. It didn't have the same bite it normally has.
No less than two texts each day about how upset Bob is about what Billy did to him.
Yeah, well, it's very upsetting. OJ did weigh in on this, and we've got it for you.
It's our big finish.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should probably.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we just go ahead? We'll do this one on the fly. OJ's the big finish.
Damn it.
OJ, the floor is yours.
Look, all I know is this. The minute Mason went after the man's helmet with his foot in his groin, it's on. I'm hearing all these announcers saying that Garrett should be suspended. Maybe he should. But when a guy's trying to get your helmet off your head, and that's where it started, White with his foot in your groin, it's on. I'm just saying. Take care.
Ooh. Next time, turn your TV off.
Secondly, put a foot in OJ's groin, there's no telling what he'll do.
I mean, could you sense the anger in his voice?
Yeah, he'll stand back. I gotta practice my stabbing.
That one gets me every time. It's on. Now you know the button not to push on OJ. It's foot in the groin.
That's right. It is on.
Because it is on, and there's no telling what he's going to do to you.
I have a pretty good idea what he's going to do to you.
There is no doubt that Mason Rudolph tried to rip off that helmet. We've talked about that all morning long. But the way that Myles Garrett reacted with the helmet and then hitting him with the helmet, can't go there, Myles. You just can't go there. You can't go there. Violence in that situation, I understand you're mad, but you can't swing your helmet and hit him on top of the head.
That's just boys being boys, Bob.
And now we're seeing being reported by ESPN.com from Mason Rudolph's agents. They're exploring all options legally against Myles Garrett now.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no accountability anymore.
How is that?
Gosh, OJ.
Did you say I okayed fights? I never okayed fights. Did I want them to get after their ass? Yes, I did. But that's not fighting. That's not after the whistle. But that's between the whistles. Yes. I never condone fighting on a football field because that's penalties. I don't coach penalties.
It hurts the
I don't coach false starts.
It's the football.
I don't coach after the whistle grabbing somebody's face mask. I don't coach that. So I don't know what you're talking about with Indianapolis when I condone fighting. That's putting words in my mouth. I've never in my life condoned a fight. That's a penalty.
Freddie Kitchens.
Alabama.
Browns.
Yep.
Alabama Browns head coach. Just doesn't have the same.
This isn't the Roman Coliseum.
Same ring to it, and that's Southern drawl.
We're all rooting for this to happen, right?
Rooting for what to happen?
Like, eventually, like, there's always that moment in a football game where you're like, yeah, rip his head off. Then you're like, oh, God, he's ripping his head off.
Yeah. He actually did.
No, don't rip his head off. I was just kidding.
Be whooping that ass.
Thank you, Freddie. We're an ass whooping. I don't condone fighting, but I do condone whooping ass.
So OJ
is ass whooping and fighting different? Or getting in their ass? Is that what he said? Get that ass? How did he phrase it?
Let me see. Hang on.
I don't condone fighting, but I do condone getting in the ass.
Did you say I okay fights?
I never okay fights.
Did I want them to get after their ass?
Get after
them. Oh, get after
their ass.
Whew.
Probably should have left that part out of your speech last night, Fred. Probably would have been a smart thing to do. Not even go there.
What is getting after their ass, Fred? Can you describe that?
Yeah, I don't condone fighting, but I do condone getting after that ass. By the way, Bama, they're going to bounce back this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
French fry taters.
I like me some of that ass, A-Z-Z, ass. Whooper.
We're OJ again.
By the way, I still don't know who won the Survivor pool prize. I asked Speck like 3 days ago. So I guess we'll all find out together.
You want to hear OJ again?
I kind of
look. All I know is this: the minute Mason went after the man's helmet with his foot in his groin, it's on. I'm hearing all these announcers saying that Garrett should be suspended. Maybe he should. But when a guy's trying to get your helmet off your head, and that's where it started. White with his foot in your groin, it's on. I'm just saying.
What announcers was OJ listening to at 1:15 in the morning?
I can imagine.
He was catching it on DVR.
Somebody's going to do a mashup with that video.
I'm just guessing.
I'm just saying, Twitter world. Someone's going to turn those words on him in some other form or fashion if they haven't already.
Text line wants to. Oh, just called OJ.
OJ.
Someone wants to test your expertise on zip codes.
It's area codes.
Yeah. Area code 859.
I'm going to go with the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
That is not anywhere close.
Oh.
It is city of Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, okay. Give me another.
I'm not giving you another. I was the only one that wanted you to test it. You failed already.
It says, see if Legend Bob knows where my zip code is from.
Well, he's not an expert on zip codes.
No.
Neither is that texter, clearly.
Area codes. You're all about area codes.
Yeah. All about that area code, about that code, oof, about that code.
This, no, don't. We were doing so well this week. Bob having to make up songs.
I sent you that one that I didn't make up. My mother sang for you.
I didn't even download that. I could play it right off my phone. We should do that.
No. Well, next week we'll get to it.
Next week. We have an extra day, so.
918 is Tulsa. Thank you very much.
Because we have an extra day because we have to wait until Monday night now for football. So we'll
wait all day for Monday night.
We will wait together on Monday and discuss a lot more of the Chiefs-Chargers matchup coming up on Monday. We'll see if Shady McCoy is
915 area code is El Paso, Texas. Thank you very much.
Are you doing these without Googling?
What about 888?
888 is a toll-free extension.
Ha. Try to sneak it past you.
Could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
I'm good,
all
man.
Right, good.
I'm good.
Everybody have a good weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday. Coming up, Schoenberg, come your way next on 610 Sports Radio. Bye, Twitter world.
Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.